Well, Irving and Terry have done the heavy lifting, so I thought I'd just talk about our business and what I'd want to hear as a shareholder coming to the meeting. So when I think about a business, our business or anybody's business, the first thing I think about is what business are we in? And one of the things I tell the employees is Francis Ford Coppola, the director, was asked, how do you make a great movie? And he said the key to making a great movie is to get everybody making the same movie. So we're a power generating business, and it's I view it as a blue collar manufacturing kind of business. And the message we're trying to send to employees and customers are that we're low cost, we're reliable, and blue collar type organization. So with the employees, one of the first questions I got when I was coming on as CEO was, there's a casual Friday, can we keep that? And my view was, you can have casual Monday through Friday. I don't really care. It's a manufacturing business. We take coal or gas, water, and we make electricity, and it's all about cost in a commodity business. IQ points and looks don't buy you much in a commodity business. You've got to have low cost, reliable product. And so that's been our focus. We moved our headquarters from the financial district in Boston out to Dedham, Massachusetts. That saved us $600,000 a year. We've been closing offices in the rest of the country, bringing people into Dedham. And so the message to the employees was, we're not a financial outfit. We'll do some deals, and we've got a lot of debt issues, but really we've got to focus on the end customer. And they care about low-cost, reliable power. As a shareholder, what I would say is we want to make sure we're all thinking about the business the same way. And the first thing I would say is we're not a utility business. So a utility business has a regulated monopoly to serve a certain load of area customers. And if they have problems, they go to the regulatory commission and they get an increase in rates, as we all know. In an IPP business, you're not a regulated monopoly. And if you have a problem, you can't go to a commission and get higher rates. So the advantage of an IPP business is by being unregulated, we have more growth potential. The risk is we're at the vagaries of the market. We got to go find somebody who buys power from our projects, and it's really dependent on what market prices are. So it's a risk. It's a riskier business than a utility, as long-term shareholders know. When we lost some PPAs and had to cut dividends, and we've been through a lot of turmoil over the last couple years, we've cut about 50% of the staff. We've cut about 50% of the cost to respond to those changes. But that's not a utility-like business. It's a bit riskier. So once we've decided what business we're in, the next question is, do we have the right people and the right jobs? And I think we've made a lot of progress there. As I've said, we've reduced the staff by 50%, so the people that are still there are kind of the cream of the crop. And we're not going to add a ton of people, but we have plans to add a couple on the commercial side to help us start growing the business as we go forward. After that, when you have the business sorted out and you've got the people in place, the question is culture. And I like to focus on what I call servant leadership. There's good books out on it by Jim Hunter, and we have him coming in to speak to our team later this year. And in a normal, the old hierarchical way of doing things, you had an organization structure that was like a triangle with the top management, middle management, the guys on the shop floor, and the customers. And in servant leadership, we're trying to flip that and all be focused on, we're here to serve the customer, the plants are generating all the cash flow, and us people at corporate headquarters, we're a draw, we're a cost. We're not adding any revenue, so we have to be very limited on what we spend, very efficient, and very humble. You know, we're here to serve the plant people and not the other way around. So we're trying to drive that culture into the business. We also like to say, think like owners. And in that respect, I've been out buying shares. I bought 140,000 shares the last month or so that I don't just have to think like an owner. I am an owner. In addition to the grants I got from joining the company, I purchased those in the open market with my own family money. Some of the shareholders or some of the directors have also been adding, which doesn't show up in the latest tally, but in the last month or so, we have certain windows where we can buy where there's not a earnings release coming up or there's not any material inside information. And so when we hit those periods, people can go add to their share positions. And a number of us have been doing that in the last month. So getting back to cost, we're a commodity business. It's all about cost. It's all about reliability. The cost at the overhead level, the corporate level, had gotten up to about $53 million a year. It took them down to $45 million. This year they came down to $38 million. And next year we've guided the market that we're going to be at $28 million or less. So that's a good ramp, and that all just adds to the bottom line cash flow. So Terry talked about a $0 to $20 million free cash flow, and in the last year, we've taken down the overhead by an additional close to $20 million. So you can see, you know, these overhead cuts are pretty big relative to the amount of free cash flow otherwise being generated by the business. On the debt side, I think we've done a good job. Terry talked about reducing $400 million of debt the last couple of years. That's a good start. We still have too much debt, even after the Wynn deal. I think the Wynn deal is very exciting for us as shareholders. I've been doing the energy business now for 33 years, and I've been doing the power business since 1986, and there tends to be a very cyclical treatment of asset values. And right now, renewable power, long-term PPAs, are being priced at record highs. And I don't know if they'll go higher, but they're certainly high relative to history. And so we had an opportunity in this company to take some money out of column A, which was our asset side, a portion of those assets at a historically high valuation, and move it over to column B and reduce some of our debt, which we did, or we're about to do. And when that's accomplished, we'll have taken out a lot of this 9% high-yield debt. Well, 9% is a huge number. We were paying around $28 million a year in interest. We're giving up less cash flow than that in the sale of our wind project. So the wind project sale and the call of the high-yield notes will end up slightly increasing our cash flow per share at the end of the day. Not a lot, but slightly. And we sold a quarter of the business. So for a slight increase in free cash flow per share, why is that a great deal? Well, at the same time, we took out the biggest threat on the balance sheet, which was this high-yield debt coming due in 2018. It was risky, and it was high cost. So I feel like on a per-share basis, we were a little better off on free cash flow, but on an overall basis, our shares are riskier than they were before we sold the Wynn, or we haven't finished that yet, but before the pro forma sale of the Wynn and pay down of the debt. So overall, I think that's a good transaction outcome for the company and the shareholders. So now Terry talked about power agreements, PPAs, and our power plants. We could sell the power onto the spot market with no contract, sell it into the grid, and you're just subject to whatever the prices are in that market. Right now, energy prices have collapsed in the world, but North America, oil's down from 150-ish to 50-ish, and natural gas got as high as 50 in a few years back, and 10 after that, and now it's at 2.5. So our electric prices correlate to natural gas prices pretty well. We're in a market where the things that we have that aren't covered by a contract aren't generating a lot of revenue in the market. So those contracts are very valuable. And today, there's zero interest rates, there's no yield, so people are really paying over the moon to get a hold of the contracts. In our company, 31% of our cash flow, EBITDA-defined cash flow, are covered by PPAs that expire over the next 5 years. Well, fortunately, the first one doesn't expire until December 2017, so we have some runway. But my view, the way you run a power business is you understand it's very cyclical. It's like being in the oil business or any other commodity business. It's cyclical, and our best defense on low markets is low overhead and solid balance sheet. And so that's why in my first 6 months, we really focused on let's get the overhead down to a reasonable level, as low as we can, without taking any risk about environment, health, safety, taxes, legal, and then let's get the balance sheet as strong as we can. And from there, we can be a little bit more disciplined about extending contracts. Right now is not a great time to extend contracts because the overall market prices are down. We have on a plant-by-plant basis, however, some good opportunities. Our teams are really good. One of the surprises I found since I came to Atlantic Power is I think the team is really good. We have some very good people that are doing some great work out in the plants and at head office. And so they're all focused on how do we get those PPAs rolled over. At some of our projects, the off-taker, the user of the power, has needs for reliability or needs for steam, and they may want to upgrade a facility. So we have some opportunity to invest and upgrade our facilities and roll over those contracts. In other areas, there's not as much demand like that. So we're having to deal with waiting for the market to turn up or being opportunistic when the market turns up. So it's a combination of get your overhead down, get your debt down so we can be disciplined, go out and work hard to extend our PPAs. The ones that aren't extended, because we have low overhead and a more reasonable balance sheet, we have some time to wait on the market for those. So we're really focused on that at this point. It's all about PPA renewables at reasonable rates. After that, how do you grow the business? And I think one of the issues we'll face is that even after the wind sale, we still have a lot of debt. It's less, but it's still a lot. So we're not going to go out and issue a bunch of debt to buy anything. We're going to have to be very disciplined about growth. Anything we do on the acquisition side or new projects or development activities. Most of what we've done so far in the 6 months I've been here is to focus on investing in our own fleet. And some of those investments are 20% type cash on cash returns. We're getting 3, 4, 5 year paybacks on those investments. So to me, when you have a lot of debt, you don't have a lot of excess cash flow, and you can invest in your own fleet at 20%, there's not a great sense of urgency to go out and compete in a market where people are buying assets on 7 or 8% returns calculated over 30 years, with most of the return coming at the back end. So if we had no debt, I wouldn't be in a rush to go out and try to compete on those kind of terms. Fortunately for us, we have internal investments. We've made them a couple of years. We've got a couple more years to do those. So the combination of those internal investments, the overhead cutting, and the interest rate reduction are enhancing our free cash flow per share and without having a lot of external growth targets. Now, externally, I think it is a cyclical market. There'll come a time in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years where asset prices change dramatically. The last business I was at was Catamount Energy. We sold the wind business September of 2008. And by October, if we had waited, the assets would have been worth half of what we sold them for in September. So it's a cyclical market. Prices change, they're very volatile, and I always think you have to act with a sense of urgency. So when the wind prices were high, we had a sense of urgency about finding a buyer at a price, moving over, paying down the debt, take advantage of this current market where the bank loans are fairly liquid. There's a lot of capacity to go out and redo your balance sheet. So that's all the internal stuff. I think it puts us in a better shape to go out and look at growing through mergers. We can look at companies or assets that have under-leveraged, there's less debt, put them together with us and help our balance sheet and help to grow. There's a lot of private equity guys who hold assets, and those funds have 10-year periods. And when you get towards the end, they got to sell the assets. And if you can't get the right auction price for them, sometimes they're willing to take shares in the company in exchange for those assets. So we'll be focused on that the next couple of years while we're working on extending our PPAs and while we're being prepared to live through this down cycle in energy prices and live for an up price in the market, a pickup in the market. So that's basically it. It's kind of fundamental blocking and tackling, nothing fancy, blue collar, and we want to be very reliable for our customers, very low cost, a great place to work, and we want to communicate with our shareholders directly and talk to you as if you're our partners, because you are. We all own shares in the company. So I appreciate your being here today, and we're available for questions now if anybody has.